And verse 9 says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Looks like everybody is shut out. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. There is at least one way in which every one of us in this room is alike. Every one of us has a body. It may be an old body, 70, 80 years old. It may be a very young body in the teenage years. But everyone in this room has a body. Your body. And your body can be used in different ways. We read of these, first of all, in the chapter, who clearly were not believers, because he says they were guilty of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, extortion. And he says, and he's addressing the believers now, and such were some of you. But if those things characterize your life now, you have no reason whatever to believe that you're a child of God. Be not deceived. Be not deceived, the apostle says here in this passage. But a body. We each have a body. We've been hearing this afternoon that each of us has only one life. And that life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. The Lord has told us in His Word, those that honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. There are two words mainly used for the temple in the New Testament. One has to do with the outer precincts of the temple. That's where the Lord Jesus taught. Never once did he enter into the most holy place of the temple. The priests alone had that privilege. But the word that is used here concerning your body is the most holy place. God, the Holy Spirit, has taken up his residence in your life if you're a child of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Word of God says, he is none of his. And he reminds each of us, it's your body, but ye are not your own. The person that lives in this body could be used for evil purposes, or it could be used for good purposes. But you live in this body. But it's your body. But you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And whenever I look at a child of God, some may be pretty homely, some may look pretty helpless, but as I look at that individual, I often think of the price tag that is attached to each of us. You ever been in one of these fancy places where they're selling antiques? and you look at some little piece of bric-a-brac, it doesn't look like it's worth a dime to you, and you pick it up, and underneath of it it has $7,500. And boy, I'm telling you, you put that down very carefully, because you don't want to break that. It looked like a piece of junk for a minute. But when you saw the price tag, and when I look at a brother or sister in Christ, I see the price tag. He's a brother. She's a sister for whom Christ died. That puts a new valuation on you. Each of us bought and paid for by the precious blood of Christ. You are not redeemed with corruptible things, Peter says, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, all the price is paid. Full atonement now is offered, peace is made. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, ever flowing free. Oh, believe it. Oh, receive it. It's for thee. Bought and paid for by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder that each of the apostles, writers of the New Testament, Paul, Peter, James, John, and Jude, all five of them, somewhere in that which they have written refers to themselves as a bond slave of Jesus Christ. They all wanted to put it on notice. I am not my own. I've been bought and paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been hearing about the Lordship of Christ, and when a person recognizes the price that has been paid and who paid that price, what a tremendous difference it makes in a man's life. Saul of Tarsus, that great persecutor, he said, I persecuted the church. I was injurious. I did it ignorantly. He tells them. And he's on the road to Damascus. And the Lord from heaven speaks to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. You could have knocked Paul over with a pin feather. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What were his next words? Lord. Did he believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You bet your life. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Not what would I like to do for you, but what would you want me to do for you? It's the voice of a bond slave. And Paul, when he refers to himself in Acts chapter 27, he says, whose I am. You once recognize who your owner is, whom I serve, whose I am, and whom I serve. The consequence is there. Recognize who we belong to, then we respond in terms like that. We have an obligation. We have a body. Each of us has a body. Now, what are you going to do with it? Paul says, glorify God in your body. Each of us has a unique property, your body. It's mine. God gave it to me at birth. No one else has my body. I have it. I'm responsible for that body. The late English Fleming wrote a little tract on this particular verse. And he entitled, Your Body Is. Your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. He says, if my body is indwelled by the God, the Holy Spirit, then I need to be careful where I take my body. Is this place where I'm going, is this a place that would be honoring to the one who has taken up his residence in my life? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of it. But the Spirit of God is indwelling my life. I need to be careful where I take my body. I need to be careful what I put on my body, my dress. I'm to be dressed in modest apparel as a believer. Even my dress can speak well of Christ. Whatever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, with his interest in view. I need to be careful where I take my body, what I put on my body, what I put in my body. Drugs, cigarettes, you name it. I need to be careful what I see with these eyes, because the Scripture says, mine eye affects my heart. My body. It's a wonderful property that God has committed to me. Over 1900 years ago, our Savior told his disciples concerning the Passover, with great desire, I have a desire to eat this supper with thee before I suffer. And as they celebrated the Passover feast, the Lord Jesus rose and he took a loaf of bread in his hands and he broke it. And said, take, eat, all of you. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. This is what they knew it as. It wasn't actually his body. He was right there. But they knew it represented his body. This is my body, which is given for you. Peter tells us what he did with that body. He says, he bare our sins in his own body. In his own body. He felt the pain that should have been mine. Jesus, my Savior, died, nailed to the tree, cruelly crucified, stricken for me. Darkness there shut him in. God judged him for my sin. Jesus, my soul to win, died there for me. This is my body, which is given for you. Now, he didn't say that, but he could have said, You've got a body. I'm giving my body for you. What are you doing with your body? Many, many years ago, a young English woman, very, very adept in languages. She knew 7 languages fluently. She could read the Hebrew and the Greek. The Bible was written in the original languages, just like you read the newspaper. She wrote many, many hymns. And she was in Germany, and she saw a portrait of Christ hanging on the cross, depicting him hanging on the cross. And underneath of it in German were words that said something like this. I did this for you. What have you done for me? And she grabbed a little piece of paper out of her purse and she started writing some lines of the poetry. And after she had written it, she looked at it and she read it, reread it, and she thought it wasn't very much. And she took it and balled it up in a little ball and threw it in the direction of the fireplace. And just a draft from the fireplace blew it out, and only the sides of it were burned. And she thought perhaps the Lord meant it to be preserved. And she took it back to England and she showed it to her father, who was a preacher. And she had written this. I gave my life for thee. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life. Think of it. It is this that's Jesus' life. The Son of God. Paul says, he never got over the wonder of it all. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Loved it for me alone. The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendor of the sky. Was it for me? Was it for me? Came to die. It was for me. All each of us can claim that it was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. He did it all for you and for me. Surely, there is no other sensible thing that we can do than respond to those words of the apostle, having outlined for us in the Epistle of Romans the marvelous love and mercy of God to sinners such as ourselves. As I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, in view of what he has done, that you present your body, each of us as a body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord Jesus said concerning his life on earth, Father, he said, I have glorified thy name. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. There's only one sensible thing that we in turn can do, is to present ourselves holy, acceptable to God as a reasonable servant. I often think of those lines written by Charles Wesley as he considered the tremendous love of God for him. He wrote a little prayer, My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim and tell through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Brothers and sisters, let us go from here with renewed determination to recognize that it's only one life that we have. It will soon be passed. Some of us have just a few years left. Perhaps until our Lord comes or until we get home. But the Lord values each of us. And we can make a difference in the measure in which we say, Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated to the Lord, to be. Take my lips, Lord, and let them move at the impulse of our love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. You know, in the Old Testament, it speaks of the Lord prophetically. In Isaiah 52, all beautiful are the feet of him. It puts it in the singular that publishes the tidings of peace. But in Romans chapter 10, it says, how beautiful are the feet of that that you and me, that publishes good tidings of peace. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to us by the Lord and was confirmed in us by them that heard him? And now we have heard the gospel, and this so great salvation has been committed to us. The Lord help us to pass it on to others. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful for thy word, thankful for this time that we've enjoyed together with our people, in fellowship with thee and with one another. We're thankful, Lord, for the marvel of thy grace, that not only hast thou saved us, but thou hast put us in trust with the gospel. No angels may with rapture see, our mercy flows in Jesus' blood. It is not theirs to prove as we the cleansing virtue of that flood. And when we sing redemption story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt a joy that thy salvation brings. Bless our God, thy word to us and through us, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.